us cold. In this world, wherever we roam, the Word of God will guide us home. Word of God, ever true, is changing me, is changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the Word the faithful words of Christ, and holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the Word of God
the Word of God impart. What? Impart to you what you need tonight. You come expecting something. I hope you didn't come just to see me. I hope you came to see the Lord and what He's doing for us and will do for us. Amen. Good to be here. Boy, this past weekend was just full and fresh and wonderful, and they all got back home safe, and everybody had a wonderful time, and we sure do miss them. They're just a wonderful group of people, and just country folk to us, just the family. So we sure do appreciate the Ohio group watching in tonight. Glad you all got back home safe, and glad that you were able to, that we could accommodate you and there'd be no snafus. That food was good. Transportation, everything worked out fine. So everything is good. The Valentine's banquet was probably one of the best ones we've had, and Brother Isaac did a real good job just taking a few minutes to help us chuckle about our times together, as husband and wife. So we sure do appreciate them. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to the Book of Daniel. And next Wednesday, Brother Manuel will be speaking for us here. Just keep remembering, though, there's two services on the 8th. And the 15th. All right, between those times, there'll be sandwiches and all for you to eat. And the second service will start at 3, not at 2. And we won't have a very long song service. We'll get right into the Word. For a prayer request, Sister Julie said she was talking to a girl named Shawana from Verizon, and Julie said she had to go real quick because she had to go to church. And the lady said, "Will you pray for me?" So we'll keep Shawana on our heart tonight as we pray for her. People need help. Sometimes they don't know how to get it, but you know what? Sometimes they get it from us. They get it from the bride body, and they, you know what? They feel that pull. You know, if Julie would have said, "Well, I'm going to Walmart or I'm going to Aldi or whatever," she wouldn't have probably said that. But she said, I'm confessing. I'm going to church. I can't hang on this phone. It may be important. It may be important, but it wasn't important enough to go to skip church. And that lady saw that in Sister Julie and never saw her, but heard the voice of her, what? Testimony. Testify. She was testifying of what she believed. She believed in going to church. So let's remember Shawana in our prayer. So, Brother Manuel, you probably need to interpret. Thank God we got our Brother Luis, if you want to do it. Yeah. Y'all want to thumb wrestle right here in front of everybody? Or? I kind of try to keep stuff off Brother Luis. He gets ragged out, but he says he likes to interpret for me, so. Well, ask him. That's what he said. Yeah. Oh, okay. Go in there and shut the door. But just remember these things in our prayer. Tonight we're gonna continue on the first seal and turn to the book of Daniel. Let's bow our heads. To Heavenly Father, number one, we want to remember that lady. We don't have a clue what's going on. She just asked for prayer, but you know exactly where she's sitting at this very moment. You know where she works, what she's thinking, and you know the needs that she has. So, Father, I pray that you would supply that need, Father, and that you would touch her, Father. And we may never know on this side what went on, but, Lord, may we know on the other side when all things are made new and all things are made whole, that we'll be able maybe to meet her again. And she'll say, I appreciate that prayer. Maybe something was happening real serious, Father. I pray that you'd minister to that. Minister all our needs here tonight, Lord. Be the ones that are sick, Lord, and are not here tonight. Father, bless the ones that were on highways traveling today, Father, in different places. Father, we pray that you would just be with us, Lord, this coming weekend in our service. And be with the little bride there in Ohio, Lord, that you'll ever protect them, keep them safe, keep them together, Lord, and ever bless us and keep us together, Lord. We pray that you'd just sanctify your word, Lord, to our hearts and to our minds today, Lord, that we may open our heart up to you, Father, and let you tell us these things that you've hid before since the foundation of the world. Since you created Lucifer, you've hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Father, just be with us. Forgive us of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Look in the book of Daniel, Daniel 12, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. That was almost 6,000, 4,000 some odd years ago. That shut the book up, Daniel. They're not going to understand it, but they're going to have knowledge, but they're not going to understand what I'm saying. But in the end time, we're promised that there's going to be a open book to where we can understand it. So Revelation 6, verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard as were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse. Now there was a beast come out and said, come and see. John saw a horse, a rider with a bow, given a crown, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So you may be seeing the Lord as blessing to the reading of the word. Now we know that many people have probed at this, and Brother Branham even tells us that many people, he read all the commentary. He went and found these books of Uri Smith and different ones, Clarence Larkin, and he gleaned what he could from them. But being a prophet, God had to speak directly to him. All right, and that's what we see, that it's not a hit and miss with him. I'll read it here in just a few minutes, where Brother Branham said that this has got to be the same ministry of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ's ministry was not one word off, then this has got to be not one word off. And like Brother Luis has been speaking the past couple of times, it's not that you just say A and meant I. Okay, it's the essence of the word. It's the essence of what you hear. It's not the letter, because the letter killeth. If the letter was right, then we should be eating communion coming up this Sunday. We should partake of the body of Jesus Christ. So that's what he said. If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. All right, so it took a revelation to see what God's talking about. And he was happy that he hid it. And it was so good in the Father's sight where Jesus said, look, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. So every one of us started as a newborn babe in Christ. That's what Paul said. And I hope you agree with that, that you started as a baby. You started as making mistakes and maybe read something wrong, or you hear a preacher say something and there was something rang in your heart, but you didn't know how to explain it. All right? We've all been through that. But now we should be the time to where we come to a place that all major doctrines should be settled. All right? All major doctrines should be settled. All the mysteries of the eternal hell, no eternal hell, the mysteries of the baptism, the mystery of one God, And this mystery we're talking about now, the mystery of iniquity. We all should know that the man of sin is Satan himself. And that his name was Lucifer at one time. And he was created by God. And it was something came to my attention today, and I really wanted to get to that tonight, that maybe we've been looking at this mystery of iniquity just a little, not wrong, but just a little bit different. Because Brother Branham's trying to get us to see something about this man of sin. Because Paul, if the first church age messenger was trying to tell us about this man of sin in Thessalonians, if that's the Alpha Bride, then the Omega Bride, which is now, we should know the same thing that they knew or that Paul knew. But now what happened from Paul to Brother Branham or the bride in the end time? Man got involved. Man started preaching instead of God. Well, when man preaches instead of God, it's the devil preaching. All right, because remember, before the foundation of the world, Satan was a preacher. He preached to every how many third of the angels, and he got them to believe his lie, to believe his story. All right? Amen? So he's, before the foundation of the world, he's already setting this thing up. He's already going to be a deceiver. He's already going to be the one that as Brother Branham says, the great deceiver, the great tripper-upper. The one that's going to cause the fall of man. But remember, the fall of man, when Satan comes to a place with Eve, she had to make a choice, just like Satan had to make a choice. And even Satan's angels had to make a choice. Every person is on free moral agency. Every person. Doesn't matter who we are or what we think we are, we are in control of ourself. All right? We're in control of our destiny. But remember, we believe in predetermining of that destiny because of what God saw in his mind, not what you're living today, because you don't know what the end's going to be. We know we're heading toward it. We know that we're on the right road, as we were talking the other day. We're on the right road. We've got the right vehicle, and we got plenty of gas. And we're on the right way to go. We just got to get there. Now, there may be bumps in the road. There may be things that we, that are trials and tribulations. We're never going to get away from that. We're always going to have trials and tribulations. We're always going to have something that's going to try to derail us and to get us to what? To get us to, remember from now on, that horse will be a power. So when we say horse, you just know that it's a power. It's a charger. It's something you ride on. But it's controlled by a man. Okay? Horses run wild when they don't have anybody on them. But see, Satan gets on that horse, and he rides it in a certain direction. And he rides it all the way from the beginning, all the way down to here. I was thinking today, you know, the development of Satan and God. You know, he was Lucifer. I'll read it to you in a minute. Son of the morning, made perfect. God can't make anything imperfect. But his choice made him imperfect. His choice made him, when iniquity was found in him, which what iniquity we'll see in a few minutes, is a hideous sin. It's not just sin, it's a hideous sin. And we'll see that in just a minute. Because the first seal is telling us where and who the mystery of iniquity is. It's not a mystery anymore. So our Brother Ram said, the mystery has now been made history. When he opened that first seal, when that first seal opened and the Lamb was standing there, and then there went somebody riding off away from him, and he had a power. Okay, he had a power. Power was given. Then we know right then there's not two gods, there's only one. All right? And whatever is riding away from God, remember that's what happened to Cain. Cain couldn't stay in Eden. He had to leave. The Bible said Cain went out from the presence of God. That was his worst mistake. Listen, you can be a murderer and go to heaven. You can be an adulterer, a liar, a thief. All of us were part of that anyway. All right? Everybody with me? But what happened to Cain is he walked away from the presence of God. Listen, God spoke to him lip to ear. and he still walked away from him. He knew that that man was a higher power. He knew that man had some sort of control, but he walked away from him. So his worst mistake was not killing Abel. Come on. His worst mistake was walking away from God. Where there's no redemption when you walk away from God. All right? So everybody with me so far. So now we started watching Brother Branham and how he did these things. He started in a baby form in 1947, 48, 49, 50, all the way up to 1962 to 63 when the seals broke. What he was doing was, now, don't get me wrong, all right, because I can prove this 100%. Let's just read right here. So if you're going to be a part of Malachi 4, where you're going to have the heart of the children to the faith of the fathers, what was the faith of the fathers? When I use that word, what do you think of? It's Paul, Timothy, Luke, Mark, all those great people back in there, the book of Acts. Everybody with me? Because that was the acts of the believer, Brother Bram said. So that's the way the believer acted. Everybody with me? All right? So that was the faith of the fathers. They had the faith that Peter could say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. Rise up and walk. Paul could turn around and look at the lady and said, hey, Satan, get out of that woman. He had the coppersmith that hurt him and all, but they were in control of what was going on. But now if that's all you're looking for, you've missed it. If that's all you're looking for, I didn't say if it's what you're looking for. If that's all you're looking for, then you've only fulfilled the first part of Brother Branham's ministry, which was not his ministry anyway. That was already taught by the people. See, he was supposed to bring something, a mystery. The mystery of God would be finished. Everybody with me? All right? So those mysteries had to be finished in the end time. They got so scrupled up and from the first age all the way up to now, and even worse now, the greatest apostasy is religion now, okay? But he restored us back to the book of Acts where there was no eternal hell, where there was no Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. They believed in one true and living God. They lived right. They acted right. Paul had a bunch in his congregation that didn't, but he said, such are some of you, but you have been what? You have been washed. You've been sanctified. So Joel 2 says, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, caterpillar, pommel worm, and my great army, which is one bug, I sent among you. So he's going to restore this Pentecost AD 30, faith of the fathers. I just got myself a note there. Explain. That was what I explained. They had the true, unadulterated word of God. They did not. Now there was people that was infiltrated that preached error, but 99%, as well, like what some brother said, there was, instead of a denominational church on every corner, there was a message church on every corner. There was this great belief in Jesus Christ and being a Christian all over. And then what did Satan do? He started creeping in, and he started coming in with just a little bit of a lie or coming in with just a few sayings. Oh, well, I don't know if that's right or not. Do you? Well, I don't know. It sounds good, but this. Or it sounds good, but that. All right, so, and then when they come to Nicaea, Rome, in about the third church age, they come to a meeting, and they started establishing what they were going to believe. All right? So Brother Branham, then, his ministry, the first part of his ministry from 47 to 1963-ish, I say ish, because I believe it started in 62 on Spoken Word's original seed. That's when he started turning. Everything started turning, and he started honing in on a special group of people, a bride. And the Spoken Word is original seed. We didn't come from a little bean, like I said the other day. We don't have a little bean inside of us. I'm sorry if that hurts people's feelings, but God don't have a sperm. God don't have a seed that wiggles around in your body until you realize it's there. No, his seed is his word. And you were not born here with the word inside of you. You were contrary to the word. That's what made you lost. Okay, so the seed is the word, according to God. So the spoken word is the original seed. Not something that looks like a lima bean. It's floating around somewhere and it, I don't understand that. I just rather understand I was lost. It's black. I was all black. There was something in my soul that needed to be changed. And that's why I asked him to come into my heart. So that he could change, not exchange. So he could change my soul. Change my desires. Give me a new nature. Give me his nature. Drive the unclean spirit out. The Bible plainly tells you that you can't have bitter water and sweet water in the same well. In other words, you can't have the devil and God in the same place. It's got to be one or the other. See, so goes that doctrine. But they didn't have that doctrine in AD 30. They knew they were lost. Peter was the very one that knew he was lost, because on the day of Pentecost, he received something he'd never had before. Amen. Amen? If he was this predestinated seed, why didn't he come alive when Jesus was standing there? There was the man. There was the fountain. There was the water. There was what you needed standing right there. But it was blocked off because he was lost. And Jesus had all that wrapped up inside of him. He had to go away so he could come back and release the life. We know that's just elementary. But I want you to understand one thing. And don't get me wrong. I believe that everything has its place. But what are people looking for now? Great meetings with signs and wonders. They want somebody to preach fast and hard. They want somebody to cry. They want somebody to try to get people to shout and try to get people to do this, that, and the other. That was, yes, that had its place. But Brother Brown said the greatest anointing that ever hit the earth. When are we going to start believing what Brother Brown said? Amen. Direct quote, the greatest anointing ever struck the earth was when Jesus sat in that temple, opened the scroll, identified who he was, and said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Brother Brown said, you would have thought he'd have run up the wall. But he closed the book, gave it to the people, and started preaching to them. And 99.9% of them didn't believe what he said because they crucified him just a few years later. Okay, is everybody with me? So what good did that do him? He was fulfilling scripture. Listen, fulfilling scripture is not some great something that the world is going to just flock to like the Super Bowl. No, fulfilling scripture may just be you fulfilling scripture alone by yourself. Nobody but you and God see it. That's what I want to see. But the pure word of God has to be preached in its entirety without error for us to have a body change. So if people leave and want to, you know, they want to have their shouting and speaking in tongues and running, that's fine. And I hope the Spirit hits here and doesn't let up, but the devil can do that. There's one thing the devil can't do. Brother Bram said the devil can't put the word together word by word. He's got to be off somewhere. He'll look good for 30 minutes, and that 31st minute, he blows it. Because he's not born again. He don't have the Spirit of God in his soul. He has an anointing on himself, but it's not something that he can get revelation from. We ought to be happy that we can get revelation that the second most powerful man in the country or in the world can't get. Hello, somebody. It's either God or Satan. We don't have no power except those two. And power was given to Satan. Jesus gave us power. But Jesus also gave him power, what? To do what he was supposed to do. And he did it. And he's still doing it now. So is everybody with me on that? Brother Brown's message was to bring us to Pentecost, AD 30, and then not stop there, but go beyond that. As far as into the opening of the Word. Because that's what they had at 8030 Pentecost. That's not what they had at 1906 Azusa Street. They were still Trinitarians. They still had part of the Word, but not all of it. Is everybody with me? So that's why a prophet had to come right after that and start preaching to restore the bride tree again, to get it back to where the leaves and the fellowship and all. Well, my, now you can't hardly get people to fellowship now. How are we going to fellowship over there? We got to love our neighbors. We love ourselves. I thought Brother Bram said draw the circle bigger instead of drawing them out. Everybody with me? So this is just a real quick, the two things Brother Bram was sent to do. Two things, and that's it. Just two things. This is in the Church Age book. This is Brother Bram speaking. Now, this messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. I just explained what that was. All right, I just explained that was the, he said two things. So the first thing was he was going to restore the faith of the fathers, restore us back to where we know how to baptize. We know how to live our life. We know how to come to church. We know how to conduct ourselves. We know how to dress right. We know how to do all these things. So Brother Brown said, I've got him to this part, Lord, and he thought he was finished. He thought he was done. Watch the spoken word's original seed. He said, as of yet, Malachi 4 has not been made manifest or fulfilled. Now that's prophet talking, not us. That's Brother Branham speaking, and I am pretty sure it's when the Holy Spirit told him to pick up his pen and write there on the spoken word's original seed, the last few pages. So it was the Holy Spirit writing that as of yet, Malachi 4 has not been made known. Well, Brother Branham thought maybe it had, but he was just getting started. So now we come to the seals. Number two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. All right? Now listen, they had a shadow. You and I have the literal. Literal. Literally turn us back. I'm not here in type today. I am here in my fullness. I am literally here in flesh. So that's what he means, is bringing the Son of Man back in our flesh, preaching the same things that the Son of Man preached when he was on earth. And he preached the seals in Matthew 24, as I told you the other day. And he's preaching them now. And I don't mean just through me. I'm talking about now is the time for us to really realize what Brother Ram said in 1963. Because that was his real message. That was the message that we believe the prophet came to do two things. Well, he's already done that one thing. We should not be where we have to preach on going to church, like I said before, and makeup and hair and all that stuff. All right? At this point in time, the Bible says the mystery of iniquity will what? Completely take over. I'll read it to you in a minute. What is iniquity? It's sitting there with pain on your face, knowing you shouldn't have it. You're not going to heaven that way. Sorry, you're not. You're not going to heaven that way, because that's iniquity. And we'll look at it in just a minute. Something I'd never seen before. I'll just give you a little pointer here. We'll read what iniquity is. But remember, iniquity is not just sin. Iniquity is not smoking and drinking and cussing. Them people that don't know anything about God, they're not in iniquity, they're in sin. Iniquity means you know something. See, that's why I didn't get that till just today. And I underlined it, circled it, and put a marker pen across it. It's idolatry. Iniquity is in the religious realm. It's not in the sinner realm. Sinner, not center, sinner, S-I-N-N-E-R, sinner realm. They have their sin. You and I had our sin. Listen, if you're a born-again Christian today, your sin's gone. But iniquity is still going to abound because you do things you're not supposed to do, or you don't do things you're supposed to do. Amen. That's right. It's in this realm right here. It's not in another realm. It's in this one. It brings it close to home. Oh, iniquity, all them people. No, iniquity's in this church. We call message church. I don't mean this. I mean in the message. Well, I'll get quiet if you want to, but if they don't know any better, how can they commit iniquity? Come on, somebody. Iniquity is knowing, listen to me, knowing something, and you don't do it. Listen, if you don't know it, that's ignorance. Like Brother Brown said, but praise God, he talked about the Indians. He said, they never knew anything about Jesus Christ, but they live by their law. And God will judge them by their law. There will be no iniquity unless those people do what we're doing, is take their religion, whatever it was, and say, I'm not doing that anymore. Whatever it was, whatever they did. Everybody with me? So the two parts. We've been brought back to Pentecost. There was days of shouting and speaking in tongues, and as some of the old Pentecostals said, they shouted and spoke in tongues and praised God, and there was no preacher that day because they, you know, for 2 hours. Well, that's okay. You know, that sounds real good, but that's not the word. It's not the word. The word is the most prevalent thing. And I believe still in laying on hands. I believe still in shouting if you want to shout, if you want to do it. But you know, got to know what Brother Dale say. You better know what you're shouting about. You got to know what you're shouting about. I'm just not going to shout because the person beside of me is. Because that person beside me may be the devil in sheep's clothing. Sister Charlotte, look over at Regina. We don't have June to look over there. So the second part of Brother Brown's message, kind of gets you to laugh a little bit. The second part of Brother Brown's message was what? He's going to bring forth the headstone. He is the Zerubbabel of the day. All right? Zerubbabel original, the original Zerubbabel, which was a man, he built the temple from the ground up. Now, what was Brother Brown doing? Took the ground floor and built it all the way up. He built it up to where the head can sit down on, listen, the head can't sit on plastic, it can't sit on rubber, can't sit on aluminum. It has to sit on flesh. Hello? Jesus' body wasn't rubber and his head flesh. His whole body was flesh. So that's the second part of the message, is for us to get this thing right, to look and see that not only are we justified, but the real person inside of us never did it to begin with. That's hard to see because we still realize what we did. But where are we going to get somewhere? We got to get in the Word of God where even Paul touches on it. He says, there is therefore now, no condemnation. How many of y'all was condemned today? I'm going to raise both hands. Well, praise the Lord. We got some perfect people in here. Pray for us that are not. Okay? Matthew 25, verse 10. This is the parable of what? This is the parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins. Remember, the five foolish were virgins. Churchgoers. Everybody with me? It wasn't five wise virgins and five prostitutes. It was 10 virgins, five wise, five foolish. And while they went to buy, the foolish ones went to buy, because you know what happened was? They, as the old saying is, they dilly-dallied around for years. Thought they was right. Thought they was doing everything right. Kept having this little feeling every once in a while that kind of kept them, you know, anointed. But did they do everything the Word said? And I'm talking about inside of you. You got to know inside of you. You're the only ones inside of you, you and God. Amen. To realize whether you're doing the right thing or not. Okay? Now, here's the difference. When the bridegroom came, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. They that were ready. This is now not bride time. It's getting ready of the bride time. We've had bride. Listen, there's been brides since Paul on the day of Pentecost. 120 brides started right there. That's the bride. That's the beginning of the bride. We're the ending of the bride. But this bride down here can't go to and just hand it off to another bride. We got to take a body change. We got to be ready. And he answered and said unto them, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them, but to them it is not given. In other words, to the world. The mysteries here is the mystery. A mystery is scripture. It's a previously hidden truth. This is Brother Brown's quote. Now divinely revealed, but which is supernatural. A supernatural element still remains despite the revelation. You say, what do you mean, Brother Brown? What do you mean? Revelations 10, that mystery had been hidden through the ages. Number one, who the mighty angel was, and who this Revelations 10:7 person was. And that John typed the bride. That whole Revelations 10 had to be revealed by a prophet. Had to tell us that that little angel was Christ. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, we know who that is now. When he begins to sound, the mystery of God will be finished. And then that mysterious book, which is open, is given to a man named John. Well, we know that John typed every one of us sitting here today. And John typed the bride from where he was sitting in probably AD 90, I think it was, all the way up to today. So it was the mysteries hidden through the ages that came all piled, it all kept piling up to the end. Was this right? Was this right? Go talk to the denominations. They'll tell you three different ways to get baptized, four. They'll tell you 10 different ways to get the Holy Ghost. Shake a hand, speak in tongues, go tarry. But what do we know? We don't have to go looking around for all that. We don't have to go find another church. We've got what we need. But then despite that, there's a revelation that we've got to come to that we're it. We are the revelation. And God's going to reveal himself through us because we are standing here with the open book in our soul. When John ate it, it disappeared. And it went into John. And it said, John, go prophesy. Amen? Then the end will come. And that's now. All right? Is everybody with me? So now, you see, the book actually was planned and written before the foundation of the world. We know that, the Bible. The book, the Bible, was really written before the foundation of the world. And Christ, being the Lamb, was slain before the foundation of the world. The members of his bride, their names were put in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. But it's been sealed up. And now it's being revealed whose names were in there, all about it. Not just whose names they are, but all about it. Who was John? Brother Branham had to come and set the church ages correct. No one had probed through to see that Paul was a messenger and identified him who he was. Irenaeus was a messenger. Brother Branham said almost Polycarp was a messenger. Right, Polycarp? But he leaned to organized religion. Polycarp was almost a second church age messenger. If it hadn't been for the Holy Ghost telling Brother Branham that, he would have made him that. But it was Irenaeus. Now, he said that. I'm just quoting what he said. I'm not bringing stuff out of the air. I'm quoting you pretty much exactly what Brother Brown said. So he gave us every one of those messengers. He gave us every one of those dates, every one of those times. He even gave us the characteristic of each age that matched what the Bible said. And it matched the prophet for the day. And God was so pleased with that. Brother Branham drew that. This is, I like this, brother in Canada, brother, what is his name? It's on the back of, it's on. If anybody wants to you can look on this website. But anyway, he gave me this. It's made out of a 3D printer. And they gave me a Statue of Perfect Man. They picked it up in Canada. He goes to Brother John Donkel's church. But look, this is the church ages, the times, the dates, and the messengers. All right? Now I want to ask you a question. What's the white and black? Because Brother Brown drew this on a blackboard. And then God so vindicated it, he sent an angel and went to the back of the tabernacle and drew the same thing. And there were some there, they've already passed on, but we had talked to some a long, long time ago that were there. I don't know if Sister Cleta and them were there or not, but that angel drew that thing right. It just appeared on the back wall. Now, I'm sure Brother Branham, Brother Aaron, Brother Branham saw the angel drawing it. The people may have just saw it appear. Okay, because they were in a different realm than he was. But anyway, what he drew appeared on the wall. And every one of these is, this white is the white righteous church for that time. Everybody with me? This was the believers for each age that was in. These are little worlds, little earths. Okay? So there was a lot going on in the first church age. A lot of white. But remember, in that black was a white righteous church that thought they were this one. Because the first horse rider is right here. He goes out riding, conquering into conquering. Now look at the second age. Look at the third age, fourth age. Look how black it gets. That's the riders, R-I-D-E-R-S, riders. That's what that black is. The black is the blackness of Satan. The white is God, or God's people, the bride. Everybody with me? And remember, Brother Branham said the angel completely darkened this one out, our age. He said, but I put a little bit of light in there, which is us. You're sitting here today. You are the light that he drew. Make it personal. This wasn't 1960. This is today. You're right here. Oh, yeah, I mean, we're called out of the age. Come on, people, I know that. Sitting in heavenly places, but you're walking in Laodicea. You're walking in this black right here. Amen. You're not in it. It's not, I'm sorry, it's not in you, but you're in it. Right. But you're this. That's what's inside of you right now. So he had to put the church ages in line to see that this was gross darkness in this age. Listen, there's more people that are more religions. There's 13,000 now. Different religions. Looked it up not too long ago. Brother Brown said 969. That was 60 years ago. Now there's 13,000 different denominations. God must be the most confused man that ever was if he can't keep it straight 13,000 times or ways. So you see, folks, this is how important it is to be right. Because every 13,000 of those denominations have a horse rider riding through their denomination that's not God. Some of those people may be given eternal life. Some of those people may be a cup of water in my name. Live the best they live. That's up to God. But I'm just telling you today, everything we do from this point forward, everything we do outside of God is iniquity. Because you know better. Amen. Much is given, much is required. That's why sometimes if you ever start talking to somebody out in the world or you're trying to talk to them and then all of a sudden something happened. Phone rings, they got to go do something or you get checked to not say anything else. You know why? Maybe you're going to tell them too much. Because they're going to have to say, I heard that at the White Throne Judgment. So let's be real careful, because in even this right here, we got to live this right here. But we can, because it's there. We had a prophet come and tell us what the end time would be like. Now, if you take the other denominations, they're saying this is wonderful. We've got these, you know, mega churches now, 13,000, 6,000, 15,000 people. in these churches. If you saw the last three, one in Texas, one in California, and one somewhere else, the pastor, assistant pastor, and one other person was pedophiles. One lady was embezzling millions of dollars because she was a prophetess. I think I told y'all about this the other day. She was a prophetess to the church. And they paid her millions because she was a prophetess. Prophetess. They ought to collect some of that money like they do drug money and give it to good churches. Praise the Lord. Spoken word church. You see a cop will drive a brand new something, and you know it'll be all tricked out, and in the back of it will say, you know, proudly donated by drug money. Well, that's what it was. They take that drug money and put it into a cop car or something. But they all think they're right. They think they're doing the right thing. They don't go to church think they're worshiping the devil. Now some of them may. Brother Bram said, a man can be sincere. I've seen men sincere just cry and weep over this message, and 6 months later, you can't find them. And you said, boy, that man was sincere. That sister was sincere. Brother Bram said, what? You can be sincerely wrong. Now, that's a direct quote, Brother Bram. You can be sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. You see what this, when this book opens, see, you can, and just an example real quick, you can go to Baptist church Sunday and you can conform to their image and you can be comfortable. You better not be, but you can go there. You can wear whatever you want to. You put your backer in your mouth when you get ready to leave. I saw one. I went to a funeral the other day. I told you the man that was buried had a pack of Red Man in his pocket in a casket. I guess he probably needed it where he's going. I don't know. But then I looked up, and the song leader that was getting ready for the service was putting all the instruments together. He had a big dip of skull in his mouth in the sanctuary. And that, to them, it doesn't bother them one bit. That bothered me just being there. Knowing that God, when he walked into that temple, he said, you have made my father's house a den of thieves. You've made it. So let's think about that. Really understand. This is the dividing time. I told you. What did I tell you? That revelation separates spirits. Are you with me one more time? Revelation separates spirits. Because Satan cannot get a true revelation. When you get a true revelation, Brother Branham got a true revelation, and this is what he said. And now the Lamb is standing now tonight as we enter into this sixth chapter. He's got the book in his hand, starting to reveal it. Well, that's what John wrote 2,000 years ago. But he was making it personal because the Lamb was the one that was going to open the seal. So he knew right then, you wait just a few minutes, Brother Ram said, right here, he said, I'd have made a horrible mistake, but I'm going to read you another quote. He said, I know this is right. He said, we don't have a revelation, we're only presuming what's going on. Listen, we're not presuming where God is now. We're not presuming that the word's wrong in this church, or I'm talking about the message church. I ain't talking about this church. I'm talking about the message ranks. This should be the greatest, and it is, the greatest message ever was on the face of the earth. But what are people doing with it? Now, the Lamb is standing here tonight, so he's identifying where he's at. I would have had a horrible mistake on that if I hadn't been about 12 o'clock when the Holy Spirit came into the room and corrected me on something that I was writing down to say. Now, here sat a Seventh Church Age messenger prophet, right, that had the Holy Ghost in his soul, had the anointing of a prophet on him, amen, and he needed the Holy Spirit to come and correct him. So don't let us think we know everything we know. I was taking it from an old context. I had nothing on it. I don't know what the second seal is, no more than nothing. Why? Because he knew it was going to be contrary to what he had thought. I'm sorry, you can roll your eyes or whatever you want to do. Brother Branham was deceived on that point. He said he was. I'd have made a horrible mistake. And he was getting ready to write it down. That the Holy Ghost was a wild horse rider, because that was his old notes. And there about 12 o'clock in the day, the Holy Spirit just swept right down in the room. And the whole thing opened up to me, and there it was, of this first seal being opened. I'm as positive as I'm standing here tonight that this is a gospel truth that I'm going to tell you about. I just know it is, because if a revelation is contrary to the word, then it isn't revelation. And you know there's some of the stuff that can look so absolutely true, and yet it isn't truth. It seems like it is, but it is not. The first seal, I want to get this point, the symbols out of the way real quick. There was a thunder that uttered its voice when the seal broke. Do not get caught up in the thunder. The thunder is the voice, is the seal being open. All right? The thunder is the seal being open and being told the correct revelation of what it said. Okay? It's not some person. It's not another book we got to read or find another sermon that Brother Branham preached on it. No, it's right here in front of you. It's been in front of you since Brother Branham said the thunder is the voice of God when the seal opened. Now, what does a white horse mean? So the white horse was what? The white horse was a white horse. It was a white power disguised with someone sitting on top of it that was deceiving the world. All right, he had a bow, didn't have any arrows. He didn't have a crown. He was given a crown. All right, everybody with me? He didn't have a crown. He was given one. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And we'll cover that in just a minute. I'm just as positive of this as I'm standing here knowing this is the word. I've read every book on it I could find. The last time I went through it, this is him telling what happened. Somebody told me the Adventist had more light on the second coming than anybody they know. So I found some of their good books to read. Smith's book on Daniel's Revelation. That's Uriah Smith, U-R-I-A-H, Uriah Smith. And he said this white horse that went forth was white, and it symbolized the conqueror. And in this conquering, many of you Adventist brethren here knows the book, and many of you others also by reading it. I read it two or three times. He read two or three books. He read more books. That was fine teaching, supposed to be some of the best with the best light. So I thought, well, if I don't know, I'll just say what they said. That's not a prophet. He's got to say what God said. He can't say what another man says. He's got to get it straight from God. I'll just say what they said, try to teach it that way. And they give a very good explanation of it, what it really meant. Then he said, here's a white horse. The man that sat on him was the Holy Spirit that went forth in the early age, conquered the age for the kingdom of God. He had a bow in his hand, which meant like Cupid. He shot arrows. There wasn't even an arrow involved. That's how deceived everybody was. Shooting arrows of love into the hearts of the people, the love of God, and he conquered. Now, that sounds very good, but it isn't the truth. Now, if it's not the truth, what is it? If it's not the truth, it's a lie. And God don't lie. All right? Satan lies. God don't. White does mean righteous. We realize that. Listen, one more thing before we get started, and Brother Eric touched on it, and I've been touching on it too. Satan never originated one thing. Listen, he was created. He was part of the creation. He wasn't the creator. All right, is everybody with me? So nothing he did was before what God did. God already had a white righteous church. In the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, he had a white righteous church in the upper room, 120 of them. Everybody with me? But they weren't bluffs. They didn't need a bow. They needed a sword. Right here's the sword that God uses. He doesn't use a sword. This is the sword that he uses. Amen? The sword, the word of God. It's what they had. They didn't have to have a bow. But look how deceptive it is. But my revelation of it by the Holy Spirit is not that way. My revelation is the Holy Spirit is. Christ and the Holy Spirit is the self-same person, only in a different form. So here stands Christ the Lamb. We know he was the Lamb. He's standing here with the books in his hand, and there goes the white horse rider. So it wasn't the Holy Spirit. So let's read Revelations real quick. We'll try to wrap it up and get on it real good Sunday. Now, remember Sunday, only one service. We're having communion and foot washing. And then the next two Sundays, we're having two services, all right? So don't take Benadryl or don't take nothing like that. Take you, drinks a bunch of coffee and bring you some pens, stick pens, and a bowling ball. And I want you to take that bowling ball and I want you to hold it right here over your feet the whole service. If you fall asleep, we probably need to pray for your toes. But you will realize that you need to not go to sleep and drop that bowling ball. But anyway, we're going to pray that that spirit don't ever come in here. You got to fight it. We just got to fight. Everybody's got to fight it. I have to fight it too. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, all right, this is a Lamb, so Christ. Brother Branham didn't open it. Christ did. Brother Branham was there as a vessel for him to use that yielded itself completely out of the way. Because remember, he had in his mind something else to preach. Can you not see that? He had in his mind something else to preach. And it was wrong. But the Holy Spirit come in, showed him the scripture, showed him what was going on, and he moved that thought right out and sent it back to the devil who gave it to him. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard as it were the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now, what beast was that? That was the lion, L-I-O-N. Because there's lion, ox, man, and eagle. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't come and see. Well, I'm telling you the truth. Because the lamb, ox, and man, and the eagle is what? They're the Holy Ghost inside of you. So the lion's going to say, come and see. The lion's bold. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now watch. On the first seal, Brother Brown says, look, same word be vindicated of Jesus Christ, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the consummation. And the works that I do shall you do also. I will be right with you. A little while, they won't see me no more. Now, remember that scripture. A little while in the world will see me no more, but you'll see me. Watch what Brother Ryan put in there. And they won't see me no more because they will organize themselves and scatter out. But you will see me, for I will be with you. I will even be in you until the consummation. See, he said his indignation was poured out after the consummation. There you are, oh God. Who is that wild horse rider? You're not blind. You see who it is. It's that Antichrist and that deceitful spirit that's gone now and crept in and made and then. See, God just keeps repeating it. He showed there was a man going forth with a white horse with a bow and no arrows. He's a bluff. He has no power. You say the power of the church. Where is it? What do they do? They say we're the original church. The original church cast out devils, healed the sick, raised the dead, saw visions and everything else. Where is it now? See, he's a bluff, bow with no arrows. That's right. But you see, when Christ come, a sword went forth from his mouth, not a bow. A sword went forth from his mouth like a lightning flash. It went forth and consumed his enemy and cast away the devil. It cuts away everything else. He come, his vesture dipped in blood. Now, he's already over in Revelation 19. All right, he's over in Revelation 19 when we come riding back with him in the millennium on a white horse. There's nothing wrong with a white horse. It's according to who's on it. Right? Donnie knows that a horse, I can go sit on the same horse he does and it acts totally different. Why? Because they feel the spirit of what's on it. And you know, y'all know that. And a dog, cat, anything, they know when you're scared of them. It cuts away everything else, and he come his vesture dipped in blood, and on his thigh was written the word of God. And here he comes with his army coming from heaven. Now, just for a few minutes, and then we'll completely touch on iniquity, but I want you to see what this is. Iniquity means unrighteousness. All right? The condition of without law. Now, Brother Branham said what? Iniquity was knowing to do better and don't do it. Or you do it knowing you shouldn't. Well, that's what it says right here. Either because ignorant of it or because violating it. Because if you know not to do it and you do it anyway, that's a violation. They'll give you a ticket, right? I know nobody here's had one, but they write tickets for people that speed and run red lights and praise the Lord anyway. Got a perfect church. Anyway, contempt and what are y'all looking around at each other for? Contempt and violation of the law is actually wickedness. And I found this in a commentary on the internet, and I thought it was wonderful. So I'm going to read it, and then we'll kind of just stop right here. All right? In the Bible, iniquity, what's Avon? Well, praise the Lord anyway. What's Avon? I ain't going to preach no more to you. Tell me what Avon is. Ah, something you put on your face and something you put on your hair and something you put on your, Avon refers to premeditated, the word Avon really means crooked or twisted, all right? Refers to premeditated, twisted, or crooked behavior. A deep-seated perversity or willful rebellion against God rather than just a simple mistake. It signifies moral corruption, the guilt resulting, look, from sin, and the lasting consequences, suffering, punishment, that arise from such. The Hebrew word Avon denotes something that is bent or crooked, symbolizing a distortion of what is good, right, and righteous. Now, isn't that what the first seal was? There was a righteous people on the earth, but Satan come riding in his horse. It looked just like it. Iniquity versus sin. Now, I read there's 277 times iniquity is used in the Bible. I read every one of them today. But this is kind of, we're going to condense it down. Because anywhere you see, because look, he says right here, the lasting consequences. Do you know the Bible talks about in the Old Testament sin and then iniquity? Because the iniquity of the Amorites was visited to four generations because it was something ongoing. They turned God down. They didn't just sin. They turned God down. So God visited their iniquity for four generations or more. The Hebrew word Avon denotes something that is bent or crooked, symbolizing distortion of what is good, right, and righteous. Iniquity versus sin. I love this right here. While sin, chata, often means missing the mark. How many times did Brother Ram tell us what sin meant? Sin didn't mean smoking, gambling, cussing. It means missing the mark. Now, Brother Ram tells us that because he was a reader too. Missing the mark, which is an action. Iniquity, Avon, often refers to the corrupt, twisted character behind that action. Right? It implies a deep, premeditated or habitual transgression, such as intentional injustice, deep-seated wickedness, or willful disobedience. Knowing to do right and you don't do it, or knowing you should do this and you don't. That's what iniquity is. Listen, the Bible said sin can be covered. But listen, that was in the Old Testament. The blood of Jesus Christ eradicates sin in the New Testament. But the Bible still says iniquity will abound. The love of many will wax cold. That's why I'm talking. You say, well, that's for them out there. No, that's for us. That's for us. You say, well, I don't do those things. Pray for me. Don't tell me there's something you ought not do and you do it anyway. Some of y'all going to hell for lying. I just admit I have iniquity in my heart. I do things I shouldn't do. And then the things I should go to and do, Paul, Regina, the things I go to do, I don't want to do them. That's that Paul thing where inside of me there's a war. Okay, we've got a spirit realm that, now listen, if you're born again, your soul cannot commit iniquity because there's no sin there. Thank God for a prophet to tell us the difference in body, spirit, and soul. That's another thing. The world doesn't know that. You can't go to them and tell them, look, you're three people, body, spirit, and soul. No, the Bible says, well, the Bible does talk about spirit. But Brother Branham pulls it apart, tells us what the soul is, what the spirit is, and what your flesh does. So, see, that's another thing we need to have confidence in. If your soul is born again, if you are born again by the breath of God, if you have God's soul inside your soul, you cannot commit sin. You cannot commit iniquity. But we're not working on this man right here in the seals. This is for that second man. Have you not learned that in the past 35, 40 years, Brother Brown, Brother Dale's been preaching? That's why Brother Brown said you can have the Holy Ghost every day of your life on your spirit realm and die and go to hell. And have shouting, speaking in tongues, cry like a baby. So what are we doing? If you're born again in your soul, you have no iniquity, you have no sin. But that middle man has got a problem. Memory, reasoning, conscience, affection, imagination. There's where iniquity abounds. Because if you're not born, it's like I said, that was just a real revelation to me that iniquity is religious realm in the religious realm, and it's a realm of idolatry. Because what did it start in the beginning? It started idolatry. The Catholic Church all started worshiping idols. We know that was back in the Old Testament too. Amen. But they worship idols even today. Right. All right, is everybody with me? Just another minute. Then we'll really get into it Sunday. I just want to give you a little taste of what's going on. Ezekiel 28:14. Now who's this talking about? It's talking about Lucifer. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. So God can't change that. Come on. God cannot change his mind. He set Lucifer to be the anointed cherub. All right? And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Remember when Michael and Lucifer fought? Brother Brown said, what, Lucifer come down here to torment us? Just pretty simple. He didn't come down. See, the world, there's a religion in the world says that they came down here and had babies. The sons of God saw the daughters of man, and they had babies. So they said some of them come right straight from the devil. The devil don't have sperm either. He can't even procreate. God, the only one that can procreate without anything except his mouth. The spoken word's original seed. That's why Satan can't originate anything. He can't create something and say, that's mine. No, he has to take you that is God's and say, I'm going to get them and I'm going to make them mine. I'm not going to start preaching. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of your brightness. He didn't say darkness. He said brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. In other words, selling stuff. He sells himself. Satan's a good salesman. He sold it to the devils, the demons. Now, remember, they all come down here to anoint you. They didn't come down here and get inside of you and make you a child of the devil. No. Sorry, that can't happen. You decide whether you're a child of the devil or not. You have to make that choice. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. Whatever's going to destroy the devil is going to be inside of him. One more time. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And all that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Now, God doesn't say that about his children. We're eternal. What got the devil mad? The devil thought it was just him and God. And he was going to buddy right up to him and get what he wanted and X, Y, Z. Then all of a sudden, here come a light. And said, let there be. Here come a light that said, let us make man in our own image. And after our likeness, Satan's like, wait a minute. I was made. You told me I was made in your image. I'm sure that God just said, shh, be quiet a minute. I'm not finished. Listen, Satan's not an idiot. He is when it comes to certain things. But he knew God was forming something of himself that he bypassed that guy. Do you not see that? I see that. That's what made Satan so mad. He couldn't stop God's creation. So in that he couldn't stop it, he waited till it developed. Brother Brown said God knew when he put Adam and Eve in human flesh, what? They'd fall. Satan was waiting till God put them in human flesh. Then he went to work on them. God waited till you got into human flesh before he started working on you. Right? Works the same way. But Satan is now riding through people, anointing them to commit sin and iniquity. But once the mystery is made known, once the mystery is brought forth, the word mystery means a hidden thing, secret. Now, didn't Jesus say, Father, I thank you that you've hid these things from the wise and prudent. I've told you before, I tell you again, you can get revelation. Satan cannot. If you're a child of God, you can get a revelation and the devil won't know nothing about it. Because revelation, the word of God, the revelation of the word of God is what's going to kill Satan. Not you sitting and praying and don't have no dirty thoughts and don't do anything wrong. You're just going to sit there and you'll drive yourself crazy. He wants us to be humans. But being humans, that's what's going to destroy the devil. Because God's going to use the same thing that Satan destroyed to bring it back. Right. So it's a hidden thing, secret, mystery, generally mysterious, a religious secret, confided only to the initiated and not to ordinary mortals. Us. I thank you, Father, that you hid it from wise and prudent, revealed it unto babes. A hidden or secret thing, not obvious to the understanding. Not obvious to the understanding. Right. One more thing. Come on, musicians. We'll stop right there. We'll start it. 2 Thessalonians is where the man of sin comes in. But we'll start right there Sunday. I want to read you a quote. This is my quote. This is the Wade quote, Brother Wade quote. You must have had an experience with the truth to have iniquity. One more time. you must have had experience with the truth to have iniquity. Think about it. Because if not, it's ignorance. Some of you shaking your head, some of you not. Must have experienced the truth. We're going to read there where the Bible tells us that those who have what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, walk right up to it and see the truth and walk away from it. There's no sacrifice for that. That's iniquity. Listen, that's knowing God said it and not doing it. So that's what we'll get to. You must have experienced the truth to have iniquity, because iniquity is in a religious realm, not in the bar rooms, not in the honky-tonks. It's in church. Let's stand to our feet. This right here, this is what caused this to get black. That rider got on that horse. Then he got on another horse. Then he got on another horse. Then he got on the pale horse. And rode right through these church ages, and look how black all this is. We know that because of the opening of the seals. We know that. We know the devil's tactic. Listen, if we listen to God, we'll know the devil's next move. Because Brother Brown said, remember, he said, you got to get to a place to where Satan don't know what to do with you. Well, if you don't know what to do with you, that means he does not know your next move. Keep it in your heart. Keep it in your heart, and then live it. But the mystery of iniquity is how that somebody can sit in a church, be religious, and be deceived. Because it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's what we'll talk about Sunday. God bless you. Let's sing a song if anybody has a need.
Jesus, oh, hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star.
Oh, listen, we know all those titles. We know what they mean. You know, Brother Dean passed away, so y'all need to keep the family in prayer, and they're not having any kind of service or anything. We just respect their wishes, and we know one thing's for sure, that he's not in a diabetic riddled body anymore. Amen. Death has no hold. Dad's knees are not hurting today. His mind's better than it's ever been. So what are we worried? I mean, we're here with aches and pains. My leg's asleep. I'm over here trying to get the weight so I don't fall. But whatever is going to happen is happening here. When we go into that sixth dimension, nothing's going. Nothing. Heartache, trials, tribulation, none of that. None of that's going over. That filter is going to stop what's here. And we're going into that other dimension if we have to pass away. Then what's going to happen when the day comes where the dead in Christ shall rise first? They're going to come into this dimension. And then we'll be changed. So let me give you something that I got the other day that I'll share with you. Then what's going to happen is our body will never get into perfection. Body, I said, your body's never going to quit hurting until the change. So it's not that our body, we're gonna get our body ready for the, it's right here. Right here's where you got to get ready. Right here and here. This is where you got to get ready. Because the resurrection will not come because my body's been changed, because the Bible tells us, we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the dead in Christ shall what? Rise first. So they're going to get their glorified body first, just by what comes out of our mouth. Not that we've got these muscles built up. No, these muscles right here, your faith muscles. That's what you got to work on building up. Build those muscles. That's what's going to bring the dead out of the ground, is the trumpet. The resurrection message is here, folks. We've just got to, I don't like to say figure it out, but we've got to get somewhere from where we're right now to where we need to be. And I believe the opening of the seals is what this is given for. It's to get us to that. It's a vehicle to get us to that place. Not everyone, but everyone that believes will. Everyone that believes will. Well, I can't believe. Well, start trying to be a believer. Just say, I believe it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. See, because if you understand it, and you say, I don't believe it or don't want it, that's iniquity. That means you've entered into a place that God has wanted to give you revelation, and you locked him out. That's the way I see it. That's why I said, the mystery of iniquity is it's happening to religious people, not to people out there. It's happening in the religious realm. That's where Satan wants us first. He wants to destroy our religion. And we don't have religion, you know that. But he wants to destroy the structure of what we're doing. And he's doing it. What did Brother Branham say? Brother Branham said, draw tighter together till the end, before the end. He said, Satan will send those, what, poison darts in between each person and try to get, well, what's that doing? He's working through people. He's working through our psyche, through our memories, and constant effects of imagination. Because remember, in our soul, if you're born again tonight, we are all one. We are all one in our soul if we are born again tonight. If you're not born again, you're contrary to the word of God. Get born again. It'll help you with your problems. It won't alleviate them, but it sure will help them. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this evening. Lord, may we go away from here saying that we've heard from you, Father, and that you'll, Lord, give us revelation for the next time to come, Lord. And between now and then, Lord, speak to each person in their heart, Lord, and convict us of all these things that we shouldn't be doing, Father, that so easily beset us. Paul tells us that these things that so easily beset us, we got to get them out of the way so we can run the race. And Lord, we're running that race now. I believe, like I said before, I believe we're on the right track. We've got the right vehicle. We just got to get in it and go. Father, forgive us of our mistakes, Lord, if we made any tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the ones that are sick, ones on our highway going home. Be with us, Lord, as we come back together on Sunday. And Lord, we'll commune with you, Father, in communion and with in the word of God. Lord, thank you for all things. We ask you to bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Golden flood.